Welcome to the Week 9 edition of X's and Omar, alongside Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist Omar Kelly. I'm CBS 12 Sports Director Matt Lincoln. Hope you got plenty of rest. I know the Dolphins did. I didn't. I got none.
I'm well rested. Well, you've got twins.
I've got twins at home, so there was absolutely no rest in my house. But hopefully everyone else got plenty of rest and now can really jump into what is the most important stretch of the Dolphins' season. They are 3-4. They've won two games over pretty decent teams.
Hot teams. Teams that were hot before the Dolphins extinguished them.
And now the Dolphins are the hot ones with momentum both on offense and defense, both sides of the ball.
I don't think you can say that they're hot just yet.
Okay.
If you manage to pull off a victory against the Jets, which are they're hemorrhaging. They're trying to save their season, as the Dolphins were when they started playing Pittsburgh. The Jets just pulled off a victory over Cleveland. They're hemorrhaging. They're trying to save their season. You beat the Jets, and then people can arguably say three straight wins, three very good defenses that you've beaten. You might be hot.
Well, and I think also you get back to 500.
Yeah.
And that at this point, after what the Dolphins went through the first 5 weeks, getting back to 500 this quickly is very impressive.
This was a major stepping stone because we talked about it in the beginning of the season. The first four games, throw them out the window. It was unfair. That was the hardest first four-game stretch with the exception of Cleveland. The Dolphins were fortunate enough to pull off an overtime victory. So you throw that out because all three of those teams were playoff contenders. I always said evaluate this team based on what they do in the second quarter of the season. And they slipped up and lost the game to Tennessee. Really got manhandled by Tennessee, but it created an awakening and a metamorphosis has happened. Now you got the unicorns, the running game's going, the running game's taking pressure off the defense. Ryan Tannehill looks cleaner because the pocket looks cleaner. Let's keep this momentum going.
So that's the question, right? Can what's happened the past two games be maintained?
I think it can. If the unicorns, which are Brandon Albert, Mike Pouncey, and Juwan James, stay healthy, and I mean healthy, not like, oh, they're on fumes getting the Sunday, but if they can stay healthy and continue to be effective running the ball and protecting Ryan Tannehill, you can have a very good team because you don't need 200 yards a game from J.H.I. Yes, he's given that to you for the last 2 weeks, but you don't need it. If you can get 100 to 120 rushing yards from this team, not just J.H.I., but from this team consistently, and you protect the ball, because that's important. The Jets, they're a good team fundamentally, but they're just turning the ball over like crazy. If you can continue to run the ball, protect the ball, you can have a respectable team. We're talking 8-9 wins. Now, you've got to start producing turnovers if you want to start talking about playoffs.
All right, so big question, of course, is how have the Dolphins gone with the new coaches, and have you seen Adam Gase, Vance Joseph, have you seen this whole game plan come together?
I am starting to see the game plan to come together. At the beginning of the season, remember we joked about this. We laughed and mocked them. We said, okay, so you build a defense to play with the lead? Yeah. Like, what are you thinking?
Right.
And that was truly what they did. They built a defense to put pressure on the quarterbacks and hound them so that when they do have a lead, game's over. Well, okay, here's the thing. Here's the proof that this might work. Now that Cam Wake's a starter, here's the proof that it might work. Dolphins are number one team in the NFL in third down defense, third down efficiency. What is the most important down?
Third down.
They are number one by far, 31% conversion rate, where the second best teams, they're sixth tied for second best. You know what their percentage is? 34%. Mm-hmm. That is a huge divide. So it's not a fluke. It's not a coincidence. They were pretty good before they even got to this two-game stretch. Now what the lead has done and time of possession has done, which are all provided by the run game, is that it's limited the snaps that allowed players to play a little bit fresher. And when you have a lead, you can sick the dogs on them. And that's what they're doing. They're pretty decent in coverage. Despite losing Rashad Jones, they've been pretty decent in coverage. They've been progressively getting better. And I think when Chris Culliber and
Ben Wickery.
There you go. When they start to get implemented into the defense and you got reinforcements coming in the secondary, you might actually take another step. So I do believe that this team is playing together and they're playing more unison football. The run defense is helping out the passing game. The run run game is helping out the passing game. The run game is taking snaps away from the defense, allowing them to play better. Defense is able to close the game, not putting pressure on the offense to continue to score points. Good football. Winning football.
You know, and attitude. I mean, attitude. Yeah. Attitude's a big deal. When you're 1-4 and struggling and trying to figure out where am I supposed
to be. Need proof that it works.
You need proof that it works.
You need proof that it works. And right now, I think the players have begun to buy in. I could always sense when players are like, I don't know.
Right.
You know, or like, you know, they're looking at their coach like, does he really know what he's talking about? And these last two games have reinforced to them that Vance Joseph and Adam Gase, the offensive mastermind, the defensive mastermind, they know what they're talking about. Just buy in, and the players are beginning to buy in.
All right, let's take our first Twitter question of the show. It comes from JW. Last year, we were riding high on Dan Campbell after two good games. Dolphins looked good these past two games. How is this year different?
This year is different because what Dan Campbell wanted to be a tough guy. He wanted to be physical.
Yeah.
That was great, and it was refreshing, and it was important. When you want to change the identity of a finesse team and make it a tough guy, it's helpful. But it also needs to come with plays. Mm-hmm. It needs to come with strategy. Mm-hmm. It needs to come with good coaching. And you weren't getting that from the Dolphins last year. I mean, on defense, you'd hear players say, we played the second half of the season running six defenses all season. It wasn't hard for defensive coordinators to figure out which one of the six we were in, which is why teams that were able to effectively attack them. On offense, Dan Campbell is very limited. A great leader, great man. Very limited as a coach. There is no limit to Adam Gase from a coaching standpoint. He is considered one of the young, promising offensive masterminds of this league. And the way that we've seen this offense evolve within the last month should help us understand why and how that is. I mean, you can't go from being what they were in the first four games of the season to what they are now and not think that that has something to do with coaching. So I think that this is more here to stay. Also, you're seeing young players emerge like Jay Ajayi. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, this is a guy that, I mean, the first month of the season, we thought he might be cut.
Yeah, we did. We thought he could have been cut.
Adam Gase demoted him, motivated him, lit a fire under him. Guy's probably the hottest player in the NFL right now. And justifiably so, he earned everything that he's getting right now. And hopefully what lesson that he went through at the beginning of the season continues to carry over, and he continues to make those maturity developments. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to see from young players. Devontae Parker's the next guy. We need to see a maturity development from Devontae Parker. There's no reason that he's not out here dominating games. He's single covered, detention isn't going to him, and he's an elite receiver who's finally healthy. Let's play like one.
We'll see. I guess we'll see if we see it. Doug asks, what needs to happen for Finns to maintain this new tough identity but eliminate aggressive penalties?
I think the running game. If you haven't figured out that the running game, despite how obsessed you are with fantasy football fans, despite how enamored you are with passing game, if you have not figured out that the run game, trench play, is the key to success in the NFL, you are a moron.
Right.
Just look at the successful teams.
I mean, just look at the difference in this team when you had those three guys on the offensive line. Entirely different team.
They protect the quarterback. They open up running lanes for the backs. They help you at time of possessions, limit snaps for the defense, keeps them fresher. It is the key to success. You got to keep those guys healthy.
Yeah.
Figure out whatever you need to do, Adam Gase, with Brandon Albert and Jermon Bushrod, two 30-year-olds. Figure if they need a day off from practice per week, so be it. Mike Pouncey in that hip, it's a recurring issue. Figure out what you got to do to keep him healthy. And then, also on top of that, that next guy up, because something will happen to one of these guys.
Right.
There's no way you're going to play the final nine games of the season with your entire starting offensive line intact. Something's going to happen to one of these guys. Kirk Herbstreit, Sam Young, whichever one you want to go with as the top backup, is going to be going to have to play, and you better make sure that that guy is ready to play and there isn't a huge drop-off like there was with Jason Fox last year.
Well, we've talked a lot to these offensive linemen over the past couple weeks, and these five guys will say that. We feel like we're great. All we got to do is stay healthy. Well, you can't bank on that. You can't just say, all we got to do is stay healthy, we're going to be great. Well, what happens when you're not?
The drop, we've seen it in Dolphins land. Yeah. That drop off from Juwan James to Jason Fox or from whoever to Dallas Thomas, it has wrecked your season.
Yeah.
It will wreck your season again if you do not have that next guy up prepared.
Well, and I would say too, you talk about the smart moves that Adam Gase has made, mm-hmm. and it's a next level type of coaching too, when they say, you know what, these tight ends, we need them from special teams. They're good that they're in there a couple times. Let's put Sam Young in there and have an extra tackle. That's like a next level of coaching that we may not have seen here in a little while.
Yeah. I don't know if it was as effective as it needs to be, considering special teams still sucked because they got gassed. And it's true. Marquise Gray is being stressed playing tight end, and he's a core special teams player. You got to figure out something to re-energize special teams. Michael Thomas, who I have a great deal of confidence in, he says he will get this team ready. They played a horrendous game on special teams against the Buffalo Bills, and I expect the Darren Rizzi unit to rebound. And they need to, because this is a three-component thing. All three phases of the game has to play well, because this team doesn't have a Tom Brady.
Well, that's true. They have a Ryan Tannehill. But they do have a defense that has taken another step up, and we talked a lot about JGIE and the difference in the unicorns, but this is also a different defense.
Yeah.
What has been the main change that has become, now we have a defense that can stop the run?
You know what? The real emergence in this team has been created by Cameron Wake being on the field more, mm-hmm. and Andre Brandt being inserted as a starter. Those are the changes. I mean, yes, they lost Rashad Jones. Yes, they lost Cole Amisi, but you know, Rashad, they just have to match. They just have to get by. You're not going to get as many turnovers as you probably were earlier in the season, even though you only had three. And I think the other change is linebackers. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but the Dolphins have altered their approach to the linebacker position. Jelani Jenkins has gone from an every-down player because of his knee injury, they say. He's gone from an every-down player to now he's only in the nickel package, and they've got Donald Butler and Neville Hewitt being the base package guys with Kiko Alonso. And that has helped everybody. From Jenkins is a coverage specialist. He wasn't that good against the run. Now you put Donald Butler in the game, guy who's good against the run, and then Neville Hewitt is a young, talented, promising player who needs to figure it out. And he's starting to figure it out. And you're going to give him those snaps so that he can figure it out. It's not too complicated in the base, and he's playing about 20 snaps a game. That helps him grow. And truthfully speaking, he's the next guy up. So if something ever happens to Jelani or Kiko, Neville Hewitt's going to be the guy that's going to have to go in there. So it is just a smart approach, and it's helping them seamlessly come together. Also, Bobby McCain, got to give him his props, even though I think he's going to be under attack this week. Seeing him grow into an every snap starter at the nickel spot is very encouraging, and I think it's a step in the right direction. The young players that you need to see emerge are beginning to emerge.
It's amazing how smart these moves are.
Yeah, when you're having success.
When you're having success, when they're winning. We began the show by talking about this third down success. 31%, it's the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
Why? You know, why is this happening where they were so bad at the beginning of the year? Now all of a sudden they're the best in the NFL.
It's all about that third down package where you got, and now it's basically an every down package. You've got Cameron Wake, Andre Branch, your two best pass rushers on the field. You've got Ndamukong Suh on the inside. And now, maybe, hopefully, you got Mario Williams also on the inside of defensive tackle. They're hounding quarterbacks. Somebody's going to hopefully beat one-on-one blocking. And then the coverage has been effective from the linebacker unit. Kiko Alonso is a coverage specialist. Jelani Jenkins is a coverage specialist as a linebacker. And the secondary is getting their legs under them. Byron Maxwell has not been abused for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
His play has gotten a little bit better. He's understanding the defense. And then the safeties, Issa Abdul-Kaddous, Michael Thomas, they're two very intelligent players. And what they do when they direct traffic is they help everybody make sure that they're on the right page. You're not going to get the Rashad Jones type of safety play, but you're going to get a unit that plays a little bit better together. And I think that that's what you're seeing. Now, the question is, when teams figure out how this team is playing without Rashad Jones and how they're playing in this pass rushing package with Cam Wake and maybe Mario Williams or Jason Jones moving into defensive tackle, when they counter, will you be able to counter? And I've always said that's the greatest measure of coaches, because throughout a 16-game season, teams evolve and teams change. And coaches have to counter that. Okay, well, the Dolphins are running power. What are we going to do to stop power? Okay, you don't think that for the next 9 weeks of the season, somebody's going to figure out how to stop this? They do.
Figure it out, right?
They do, and you have to evolve. Now that the power run game is going, you better get Devontae Parker going. You better get those outside receivers going, because it's going to keep teams off balance and keep teams, you know, keep the flow of the offense going. So we're hopefully we get to see that in the next step.
And the other thing about third downs, usually we're talking about the other way, why the Dolphins have been so bad offensively against third downs, but why they're being good defensively on third downs is they're doing a better job stopping the run. Tougher third, you know, more third longs.
Absolutely.
Is enabling more success. Let's take our next question. John, does the rushing defense continue to trend in the right direction after the Bills win?
Rushing defense continue trending in the right direction. I think it's as we just discussed, it's going to be hard. You've got what, 9 run plays that you can run,
right?
From different formations. Teams are going to figure it out. They're going to realize which one, when Brandon Albert does this move, or when Jermon Bushrod does this, they're doing this. Teams will figure it out. Good coaches will figure it out. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets, Casey Rogers, who I have the greatest amount of respect for, I think he's one of the best coaches that I've covered in 22 decades, in terms of just understanding the game. Is he a head coach? No. But technical stuff, Casey Rogers is, And I think he'll say, oh, yeah, these Dolphins think they hot? Think they hot stuff? Let me show you this.
Right.
And the question is, will you be able to counter that? And will you be able to respond to it? And I'm more sold on Adam Gase now than I was early in the season. And I have a belief that he will have a counter. He will have a response. Now, will it take some time? Maybe the second time they play the Jets? We'll see.
We'll see. All right. You alluded to it a few minutes ago, but now let's take a question from Nate. Given Mario Williams' size, do you think he can play more and be effective at defensive tackle next to Ndamukong Suh?
I think he can be in short spurts. I think... Here's how you improve. I think defensive tackle is the number one issue on the entire Dolphins defense. Might be the number one issue on the entire team. If you're asking me right now what position would I select number one in the first round of the draft, probably a defensive tackle. Because you're not going to get $114 million play out of Ndamukong Suh until he gets somebody else who can beat up single block, so that maybe Ndamukong isn't always getting doubled. Jordan Phillips is a 15 to 20 snap per game player. When he plays more than 15 to 20 snap per game player, he doesn't even look like a starter. And you've just got to get him playing at a higher level to be more rested. You can't have Jordan Phillips playing 30 snaps. It's just going to be, I'm here.
Yeah, right.
And that's just the reality of it. Now, Mario Williams, he is not a defensive end anymore. He's too slow. All his game is power. I'm sorry, you're 304 pounds.
Right.
Yeah. Unless the quarterback runs into you, and which you've seen, his sacks are quarterback's coming to me. Let me get him. You're not gonna do what Wake does, which is shed a block and go get the quarterback. Like, when have you seen Mario Williams do that? Even when he was with the Buffalo Bills,
never.
He ain't shedding a block and going to get the quarterback. You know, Dallas Thomas allowed him to do that a couple times. Mario Williams' game is all power. He's 300 pounds. I know it's different, but it's time for you to evolve your game and move inside to the defensive tackle position. If you want to be effective on this team, in this defense, if you want to prove to people that you're worth the $8 million a year, which I doubt the Dolphins are going to pay you next season, go inside. Go inside on third downs. Go inside. Play at least a series of defensive tackle. Give Jordan Phillips a breather. It's going to be better than Chris Jones. And, yes, I know Earl Thomas is coming back next week. Not this week, but next week. But
yeah, it'd been great when he was
in. He's Earl Thomas.
Right.
Like, what did he give you last year? 16 tackles? Mario Williams was once an elite player. He's not anymore. Not even close. But put him in a position to be successful. He is a power player. I think he could beat a guard.
Okay. Let's take our next question from Daniel. What are the chances Jordan Phillips can make a turnaround in this game like Paul Soliai did a few years ago in his game?
Similar players, similar issues. Paul Soley, I probably had a worse career starting out than Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips has only been in the league 2 years. He's played significantly 2 years. Paul Soley, I did not. You got something, and I won't even put Paul's business out there, lit a fire under him to the point where he was like, if I don't get my life together and get this, start being an impactful player, I'm going to be out the league and dead broke. And I got to get it together. Jordan Phillips needs that come to Jesus moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen, but, and I hope it doesn't happen to him. I hope having a Paul Soley, it doesn't happen to him. But he does need that moment. I don't know if he takes it personal that people think he's a disappointment.
I don't think he does at all.
No. No. I don't think it's in his personality. Some guys are just happy to be in the NFL. Yeah. Some guys are just happy to be starters. They don't push themselves to play up to their talent level. They're just cashing a check. And that's about 40% of the league.
All right, let's move on and let's talk a little bit more about this big showdown with the Jets coming up. 3-4 Dolphins. And Todd Bowles is coming to town.
Yeah.
What have you seen out of Bowles as a head coach? You know, do you feel like he's proven that he can be a successful one?
Oh, I think he can be a successful coach. I think the adversity that he's facing this season is probably second only to what the Minnesota Vikings have faced. Okay. In terms of, you know, Minnesota.
The Vikings have been fine, yeah.
They were fine. A little panicking, a little choking on themselves right now. The New York Jets don't have fundamental issues. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. They can play defense. Last year, they were a 10-win team. Yeah, they choked at the end. But the problem this year is turnovers. Mm-hmm. There's been a tremendous amount of turnovers, which led to Ryan Fitzpatrick being benched. And now Ryan Fitzpatrick is back because Geno Smith got hurt.
Right.
And the offense has to continue to evolve. They've got some young players playing because of injuries, and they got to clean it up. You got to clean it up and stop being careless with the football. And unfortunately, that's what they are. And you know, for Dolphins' sake, you want to hope that they can continue to be careless
sure.
with the football. I think the biggest issue that you have to have if you're Todd Bowles is you got to stay committed to what you believe and continue to reinforce that. And sometimes that's a challenge, especially when you're struggling, especially when you're in a difficult media market like New York. It's not pretty right now, but that doesn't mean that it can't turn around. And truthfully speaking, if they pull off a victory against the Dolphins, their schedule is much like the Dolphins, where it's watered down. They can put together a turnaround and have a respectable season. Playoffs? Probably not. I think all those AFC West teams, you might be looking at two AFC West wildcard teams.
I don't know. Or the Chiefs, I guess. I don't know.
Chiefs, Chargers,
Chiefs,
Oakland.
Raiders, Denver. It's an interesting division. Sure.
Oh, it's a talented division. It's an exciting division.
What do you take out of Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, he's one of the biggest head-scratching quarterbacks up there. He's a guy who's at times in his career has shown moxie and led teams to wins, and then at other times.
Not playoffs.
Playoffs, but to the playoffs. Ryan Fitzpatrick has bought the. No? He's never.
Houston? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe, if no disrespect to him if he has.
Okay.
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is right there on the borderline of quarterback number 28 to 32.
He's that bad?
No, I mean, that's not bad.
28 to 32, or are you talking about 18 to 22?
28 to 32.
So one of the four worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Hey, that's pretty damn good. think about it. How many teams have a backup?
Sure.
If you're one of the four worst quarterbacks in the NFL, you're still a starter in the NFL.
Okay. I see what you're
saying. With Houston, right. With Buffalo, with the Jets, he's still a starter.
I thought there were times last year that he was playing at a higher level than
yeah.
Ryan Tannehill was.
Oh, no, no doubt about it. I would agree with you. I mean, he's produced winning seasons. Tannehill has never done
that. Right.
There's a moxie to him. There's an intelligence to him. I think this is just a thought. That him having his contract dispute and sitting out all offseason prevented you from taking that next step in that Jets offense, prevented you from having synergy with your new teammates, Matt Forte, and developing chemistry with some of these wide receivers and this new tight end. It impacted him. The changes in offensive line, DeBrickshaw Ferguson, that impacted him. I still think that he can win games. The question is, he can't put the team on his shoulders and do it anymore. Well, he couldn't to begin with.
Right.
And I think he probably needs to stop trying.
With the issues that the Jets do certainly have, they do have one of the most intimidating front sevens on defense in the NFL. So what do the Finns have to do to keep the Jets' struggles going?
Front seven. That's going to be hard. It's just going to be hard. I was watching some Jets film today, and it was, yeah, they play in a 3-4, but they got 5 men in the line of scrimmage just about every play except their nickel package. And those linebackers are just like defensive ends. They can set the edge. They can play with power. They can draw back in coverage, so it adds a little deception to it. The Jets are going to be a very hard team to run against. You're going to have to hope that one of those inside linebackers misses a tackle and aren't short tacklers, and they're pretty short tacklers. The thing that gives you, makes you encourage, is their secondary can be exposed, can be beaten. Darrelle Revis, I said it today on Twitter, and just because everybody's talking about, oh, Revis has fallen off, Revis isn't what he once was. Okay, that's fair. To put it in Madden context, I don't know if you play Madden, Revis has gone from a player rating of 96 to about 88, 89. It's not like shut down,
right. But
it's still better than anything you got.
Yeah.
And can you put Revis on an island without safety help anymore? Probably not. But he's still going to lock down your best receiver and sort of take him out the game. And the question is, it's a smart team, attacks everybody else, attacks the Buster Skrines of the world. Mm. Ain't got nothing over there. Go after everybody but Revis, and I think that you can have a successful game. Like, to me, I know the Dolphins have had a very impressive run running the ball. This is a game you pass.
Okay. Let's take our next question from Eric. Will the Dolphins start establishing a second tailback? Will it be Kenyon Drake? Is he ready?
Well, last I checked, the Dolphins do have a second tailback, and his name is
Damian Williams.
Damian Williams.
Man.
I mean, I like Damian.
I like Damian too.
Kenyon Drake is talented. He's promising. I look at him more as a gimmick player, run plays designed for him, just like you were doing with Arian Foster. So, hey, yeah, maybe. No. But Damian Williams gives you blocking, gives you running, gives you pass catching, gives you big play breaking tackles,
sure. Gives
you fullback play, gives you power runs. Sign me up. I would love to say, Kenyon Drake, he's the young, talented player the Dolphins drafted in the third round. But Damian Williams is that dog.
Yeah.
And I prefer the dogs.
He has picked up some great plays this season.
Okay. He's, if you put together a highlight of the top 10 Dolphins plays of the season, Damian Williams has got at least two of them.
Two or three of them, for sure.
Yeah. So, what's your problem? He's not the fancy name. He's not the drafted player. Okay, well, I don't roll like that. Look how many drafted players the Dolphins have had that sucked. Not to say that Kenyon Drake is going to suck, but give me the dog. Give me the guy who produces.
And we're not talking about 50-50, him with Ajayi. Ajayi can handle two-thirds to three-quarters of the carries here. We're just talking about someone else, when you pop him in there, can make something happen.
Absolutely.
And Williams can do that. Robert, do you see Dolphins using two tight end set, especially if we get Jordan Cameron and Deion Sims back, and can we pass from that package?
I think the two tight end set should start it out being the base and should continue to be the base of what the Dolphins do offensively. I mean, we've seen it be successful the last 2 weeks, even without the two starting tight ends. Jordan Cameron is not coming back for a while, from what we're told. Concussion protocol still in a early stage, stage 2 of 5. Mm. Whereas Deion Sims, who practiced yesterday and today, is probably in stage number 4 of 5. He's a lot closer to playing. Both of them have concussion issues. Jordan Cameron is on his 4th concussion, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
A little bit more sensitive. We're talking about quality of life after football.
Yeah. He might be done. This might be it.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm willing to say that, but he's definitely done making big money. But then Deion Sims, I would love to see him come back and be healthy, because Deion Sims is that dude as a run blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he going to be that dude after the concussions? I don't know, you know, but he handles himself. He mauls people. And if you add him to the run blocking game with Gray and Dominique Jones, it's impressive. It can be impressive. Now, Dolphins, that's definitely one position the Dolphins have to improve and address. But I think you can get by with what you've got this season, especially if Sims comes back.
All right, real quick, let's take one more question from Jer Squall.
Okay, one of my favorite Twitter guys.
Now that they have some games under their belt, who are the diamonds in the rough on offense and defense going forward? The guys that we don't talk about every week.
You know, the one guy who I think is having a pretty impressive season that nobody even talks about, nobody brings him up, nobody mentions him, nobody interviews him, Kiko Alonso.
Yeah.
How long have we said, like, hey, when are we going to get an inside linebacker? Kiko Alonso's on pace for like 160 tackles if he can stay healthy. That's the big thing. And I talked to him yesterday. He says hasn't been this healthy in his career ever. And the Dolphins are doing a lot of things medically to make sure that that continues and stays the trend. Now, is he a downhill inside linebacker, just stuffing the run, killing gaps, blowing people up? No. But he's pretty good as a coverage specialist as a linebacker. And guy's giving you 10 tackles a game, pretty impressive to me. Another guy, Xavien Howard, when he comes back, I mean, there was a point 4 weeks ago, we were talking about Xavien Howard.
Be the best player on defense.
Probably
we
was,
said that, right?
Yeah. Not Rashad
Jones. You said that.
I don't know what I said, but he was the most exciting player to watch on defense, definitely. And watching him grow and develop was intriguing, and it made me think about what he could be. We're talking about a Vontae Davis type talent. Getting him back is important. Don't rush him, but get him back and get him on the field. And then also, you know, young guys, we talked about Neville Hewitt a little bit earlier in the show. Neville Hewitt is intriguing. I'm intrigued. He's got to get it, and I don't know if he gets it, but when he does get it, could be something. And then Andre Branch. A lot of people are downplaying it. All the credit is going to Cam Wake for those pressures. But let me ask you, who has more sacks?
He's making big plays.
He's making big plays. He's being productive. I think you're seeing them pin the ears back on this defense and get after the quarterback and make it very uncomfortable for him. And when you do that, you lead to sacks, you lead to interceptions, you lead to high level of efficiency on third downs. And what else does this defense need?
And those are all defensive guys that you just brought up.
Yeah.
But then the obvious one on offense is Williams, who we just talked about in terms of unsung heroes on the offense.
I don't know if I would describe him as a diamond.
Diamond
in the
rough.
You know what? Offense, because you make a very excellent point. Offensively, I would say what I've seen from Laremy Tunsil the last week, especially coming out of Bills game, I'd always criticize him as a run blocker. And doing it on this show, I think he's a very dynamic pass blocker. He was an adequate run blocker. Now, based on what I've seen the last week, especially against the Bills, he looked like he has the potential to be a good run blocker. He's getting it now. And, it's maybe because he had to help out Anthony Steen in the first couple of games, that prevented him from showing what he could do on the second level. Well, now he's getting to the second level, and it's getting pretty nasty. And that's the kind of play that that always excites me.
All right, if we're getting to predictions, but if you have more questions, send them to us. We are going to do X and Omar overtime coming up in just a couple minutes. So, prediction time.
I'm very uncomfortable with this prediction that I'm going to make here, but I am riding the positivity.
Okay.
I am riding the belief in the unicorns, and I'm going to predict that the Dolphins are going to pull off a 24-21 victory over the Jets, primarily because they're going to have strong support from their hometown crowd, in Hard Rock Stadium. And it's going to make it a hostile, hopefully, it's going to make it a hostile environment for the Jets. I am going to predict the Dolphins ride the unicorn to another victory.
Okay. I've already submitted my final score. So mine is actually 24-23.
I saw your score.
You saw my score?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We talked about it, but we haven't really brought up Ryan Tannehill that much. But this is going to be a Tannehill game. He's going to have to make some plays because the Dolphins are not going to be able to run the ball and dominate like they have the past 2 weeks.
So you're believing that he can?
I'm believing that in this game, this week, on Sunday, I would rather have Tannehill than Fitzpatrick.
Okay. Well, Fitzpatrick might take offense to that.
I hope he's watching.
I think if Fitzpatrick cleans up his game,